everybody. It's nice to have every one of you on tonight. We got a full schedule tonight on things we're going to deal with. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit. Not everything's going to be about justice, the courts, but it all ties in at the end. So stay to the end. You'll see how it works. I'm going to open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time that we can come together. We thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, that you are the great God. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God that heals. You are the God that restores. You are the God of salvation. And Father, we give you thanks and honor for all that you do for us. And Father, we thank you for allowing all of us to be a part of your kingdom in this last days, to set forth your kingdom, getting ready for your son to return. We say that, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Well, guys, tonight I'm going to start out with something a little different. One of the things we're going to talk about is the National Economic Security and Recovery Act. Now, what you're going to hear come out of my mouth may be a little different than what you may have heard elsewhere, but when we get into it, I'm going to tell you why. I got all 50 states here, and this is according to the Social Security Administration. There are 10 million illegals in this land, and from their states that they wind up in, have given them the identification to vote in the upcoming November election. 10 million plus. That could really sway an election, huh? This is what the corporation is doing to try to ensure that Ms. Harris gets into the White House without one vote, only one debate, and so far only one interview with a very friendly company and person to do the questioning. How would you like to go for an interview for the nation's top job, being the president? And really all you're asked is what color is your favorite color and what's your favorite fruit. And, oh, did you see this or that last week? And so-and-so says that they would do this. And all you get is the soft mashed potatoes type questions. Well, I urge you Tuesday night to watch the debate, even though it's on ABC, and watch what Mr. Trump, what he's capable of doing, the idiots. That's right. I called her an idiot because she is one. Hands down. 10 million people in this country illegally that probably don't even have a job, but they're getting close to $2,200-$2,300 a month free of charge, which, by the way, you and I are paying for. And like I said, the source is the Social Security Administration. Think about that. This is what Biden-Harris has done to our country. But in one sense, it's good because that brings them to the point of collapsing. And when they collapse, we stand up. So go ahead, corporation. Collapse. We're all waiting on you. Now, there are some other things that we need to look at before we get into everything. How many of you know that this republic is actually from the founding fathers? This was brought forth in starting actually in 08, 09, him, Turner realized that there was something not right with everything. He was in with four other individuals who started a program called RAP, R-A-P, Restore America Plan. They began to go to a nation state style government, wanted to get violent with people. And Tim didn't want that, so he broke off and went his own way and found a few other people over the course of doing interviews and YouTube videos all over the country. And they started talking about how to restore the republic and how to do it lawful. And that brought us to September of 2010. Now, I was on that phone call, that 4.5-hour call that brought us the 3-branch government, which we stood up, and it brought us to the point of voting for a president, a vice president, all the general assemblies across the country that were represented on that phone call with a senator or a representative and a judge, a justice. Now, let me clarify this. If you are appointed by the president, you are a justice. If you are voted for in your state, you're a judge. That's just the way the founding fathers worded it. So anything that's on the national level is a justice. Your district court judges are justices. Sometimes your circuit courts can be justices, but everybody that's just in their state is technically called a judge. It doesn't mean you're any lower, you're not adequate enough or anything like that. It represents a position and a territory, a jurisdiction of where you are from. Now, people have often asked me here in the last couple of months, how did this come about, or why are we doing it this way, or whatever. I want you to know that before you can halfway understand what we're doing, there's things that you need to know outside of the republic. These kind of things you should have been taught in your churches, but weren't. Now, there may be a few of you that learned this on your own, which is great. As justices and judges, one thing that we require of each other with our code of ethics is to have a great knowledge of the word, because that is our law form. We don't go to common law, we go to biblical law. When the founders left England, they left common law. And we don't want common law because, and I'll tell you why, if you go into a town next to yours, that little community is going to rule the way they want. And when you come to our town, we can rule a different way. That's common law. And that's not the way the founders envisioned all this. Everybody is under the same law, under the same form of law. And everybody is equal into the law, which means nobody is above it and nobody is below it. That's how the founders wanted it. When you go into the court for a case, whether it be a small lawsuit or a murder case, you'll know that when you go inside that courtroom, justice is going to be done. And the idea is to have people walk into that courtroom with their heads held high, knowing justice will be done, that you're not going to get railroaded. Of course, if you're the guy who committed the crime, it might not be fitting for you to be raising your head. You might want to lower it because you know justice is going to get done. So this is what we want with the people to understand, that going to court in a court case, if you are the victim, you are happy because you know justice will be done. Now, let me start out like this, because this is where everything starts, and I want you to just understand why I'm doing this. I want you to think in your mind right now what day it is, what month it is. Keep that there in your mind when I read this first paragraph. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month of the first day of the month, the waters dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering off the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Okay, so in Noah's life, 601 years, in the first month of the first day of the month. So on our calendar, that would be September 1st, the first day of that month. But it's the first month. Now, obviously, Noah didn't have a calendar that we use today like the Roman calendar. He didn't even have the Hebrew calendar, because all that hadn't come to pass yet. What he was using was his calendar that Enoch put together, who is the seventh from Adam. And Enoch had a calendar based on the rotation of the sun around the earth. And as it turns out, the first month, which we call Tishri under the Hebrew calendar, and the first day of Tishri, that begins the fall feast. Now, like most of you, I imagine, like I had to, what in the world is a fall feast? Well, it's a Hebrew biblical holiday. They have seven of them, major holidays through the year. Rome took all those out and put in pagan holidays like Christmas, Easter, Halloween. They're all pagan, Satanist type days. I know I bust bubbles, but hey, you want truth? Stick around. If you don't, well, I don't know what to tell you. The first month, Tishri, the first day, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And on that day, at sundown, now understand, their day starts at sundown, not sunup, not midnight, but sundown. Remember what is written in Genesis 1. And God said, that is the word that went out. And God said, whatever he's saying, it went out there into the atmosphere, the air. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the third day. It was always the evening and the morning which sets the precedence that a biblical day starts at sundown and goes to the sundown the following day. Now, if that be the case, the first month, the first day on our calendar, it would be October 1. At sundown, carrying over to October 2nd at sundown. That in Jerusalem in the old ancient days when they blew the shofars, the trumpets, they would blow that on the first day, just one blast. And they record that as the first trump, the first shofar. They go through the next day to sundown and the following day to sundown, which would be on their calendar the 2nd of Tishri. And at sundown on the 2nd of Tishri, right when you see the sun no more, they have one trumpet, one shofar blast, and they record that as the last trump. When I was growing up, I was taught pre-trib rapture all my life. That's how I grew up. And until the day I turned about 38, I began to question things. I'd already been in the military, been stationed in Hawaii, seen half the Pacific. And we're the only country that believes in a free trip. What's up with that? So I began to do some research, and I couldn't find anything until 1995, when I had my accident and I was laid up in the hospital, had a angelic visitation, quoted all these healing scriptures, and when I got out and was healed, it was like, what? I want to know who this God is. And my studies showed me that what Paul said to the church at Corinth, after them arguing and so forth about when the rapture was going to happen, he settled it. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Oh, okay, so I'm thinking, okay, Revelation, it's got trumpets. Let's go there. Let's see. And yes, the seventh trumpet talks about the Lord coming through the clouds and the world seeing him and the wicked are weeping. Armageddon takes place. All that happens at the seventh trumpet. I'm all happy about this because, oh boy, I got it nailed down. And somebody let me know that when Paul was writing all his stuff, Revelation hadn't even been written yet. And that took my high note and threw it in the trash can because now I got to start all over. There's got to be another set of trumpets somewhere. And there is. Leviticus. It's called a feast day. It's called Tishri Rosh Hashanah, Tishri 1. The following day is called Atonement, and the following feast then is Tabernacles. Tabernacles is a 7-day long feast, and all they do on Tabernacles in the ancient Israel was sacrifice animals from day sun up to sundown every day, 7 days. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because Rosh Hashanah, Tishri 1, the first day of the first month of the year, begins October 2nd, our calendar. Now, Christ himself said something very interesting. When he's telling the disciples in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, he makes a comment towards the end, and he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be just before I return. Now, that means that like Noah and his day, what were they doing? Because he's referencing Noah, that as they were living in that day and age, that's the way this planet's going to be when he returns. That mean giants going to be walking around? Not necessarily. But here's the one thing that happened that angered God so much about the creation of mankind. Every one of us has DNA in our bodies. That DNA is the signature of the Creator. Every one of us is just a little bit different. That DNA that you have in your body determines how tall you are, how skinny or fat you may be. It determines your ethnic backgrounds. It determines a lot of things in your body. It even determines whether you're going to have sickness, illness, or be clear the whole life. It determines everything. It's the signature of God. And what happened back in those days is there were 200 watchers that were put on this earth from heaven to watch over the earth and mankind to protect them. And those 200 angels sinned. They bound together and made an oath to each other against the Creator that they would take women, the daughters of men, and even though they were angelic, they placed seed inside those women and produced children with a mixed DNA. They corrupted the foundation of mankind as God created it and turned them into a freak, and thus their children. Some of them were 500 feet tall, taller than trees. These were the Nephilim. And during that time, the Nephilim went to Enoch and said, "Enoch, go to your God and pray that we be forgiven." And Enoch came back and said, "No, you are the offspring of those who were created to never be married, to never have children. And you're doomed. And when you die, that spirit that is inside your body will forever then be called an evil spirit." Not everything on this planet is done because of demons. Demons and evil spirits are not the same thing. A demon cannot enter a human spirit or a human body and possess it, but an evil spirit can, because it came from a body and it looks for another body to house itself in. Thus, we have Christ telling his disciples in Matthew 12 that when the evil spirit is gone, it roams around and looks for another place to go. And if it finds none, it comes back to where it got kicked out. And if it's swept clean, it'll go and pick up seven more. Now you got eight that will come back in to that body. That's why all these movies that they put out since The Exorcist back in the early 70s, people call them demons. No, they don't know what they're talking about. They're called evil spirits. They cannot enter into you unless you invite them. See, this is what the corporation likes to do. They like for you to join them, and then they will invite you into a series of events or things that are all demonic to begin with. But when those evil spirits see you're opening yourself up to what they're into, the satanic rituals, then those evil spirits come to you, and they come in if you invite them. Most of America, understand what I'm saying, most of America has either evil spirits that are tagging around with them, or they are possessed by those evil spirits, and thus they do what they do. Folks, we got to clean this up. This is why I'm full and assured to the fact. I'm going to read some scripture to you later that's going to prove it. That this nation is going to burn to a degree to where nothing of evilness will be standing. Because God wants us to cleanse this land. A lot of evil things in this country. Did you know that the White House, we have the Capitol building, we have monuments, and they're all erected for Satan. Every single one of them. Now you think to yourself, well, there's some good people in those. Yeah, they were. And when they got there, they got corrupted. We have senators I watch on C-SPAN daily who, when they were put in office, some of them came from the Tea Party, some of them came from other independent parties. And, oh, I'm going to go there and do God's work. And now you look at them, and what do? Just like everybody else. They may go against other people's policies, but they're against everybody else. It's not supposed to work that way. See, we in the judicial, our job primarily is when the executive makes an arrest of somebody who broke the law, they will send them to us. They will come with a true bill from a grand jury that this guy or this woman committed this, 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 and then on top of that, conspiracy and all these other things. The grand jury has found that there's plenty of evidence to go to trial, and when they're here in our courtrooms, we try it. But we are not, as the corporate would say, we are not gods in the courtroom. We're the furthest thing from that. We're simply a referee. That's all we are. The jury that is selected from the peers of this guy or woman, they are the ones that make all the decisions. The founders were smart enough to know, well, we can't have a 51% vote, so let's make it unanimous with the jury. All 12 have to agree on that trial jury that this guy is guilty. Because if it's only 11, well, then it's hard to convict. The founders understood that, and that's why they did that. That's why Kamala Harris wants to change that. That's why she wants to change a lot of things. She's bringing in communism. If she's elected, within 6 months, we will be under a dictatorial dictatorship, and communism will be here. Don't believe what people like her are telling us. Don't believe MSNBC. Don't believe CNN. Don't believe ABC, NBC, or ABC, because they're lying to you. They're flat out lying to you. Oh, she's great today, but when she gets in office, she'll turn again and bring back her favorite policies. You didn't vote for me? Oh, that's a shame. We'll find a way to put you in jail. They did Trump. If they can do Trump, they can do us. We can't have her in power. We just can't. But there is an out for that. If they would happen to steal this election like they did the last one, there are 50,000 of these people out there selected by President Trump while he was in office. And those 50,000, I'll tell you here in a little bit what they're called under, but they are the ones who will physically go out and make the arrests. They are the ones who will basically have the jurisdictional right, like a ranger or a marshal. If you don't want to come in, I have the authorization to kill you. I'll shoot you dead right on the street. This is what this country's become, because we have to cleanse the land. If you go peacefully, you'll go to Gitmo, Leavenworth, Costa Rica, somewhere, be judged. Military tribunal. Civilian courts won't handle none of this because the judges are all corrupt. That's where you and I come in. We are going to move them out, and we're going to be moved in sometime during that 60 to 90 or 120-day period. Now, are we in the days of Noah right now? Now, I told you that what happened with the DNA was washed up. It was changed. It wasn't God's creation anymore. So he had to flood the entire world and kill everything that lived except a few birds and a whole lot of fish. Everything else died. The Bible says the water went up 15 cubits. It's about 45 feet. So what happened then? Noah was found right. He was found peaceful. He was found not corrupt. Why? Because the angelic visitations that they had on every woman back then didn't fall on him. Why? Because Noah had three sons. Now, those three sons did have three wives. However, they didn't get to him. So what we have is we have the 200 so-called watchers, and I don't know how many thousands of these angelic beings, the children, the giants, they're called Nephilim, running around the earth. The funny thing is nobody knew what a YMCA was, and nobody knew how to swim. Nobody knew how to tread water. And when it began to rain, you have to also understand that during the creation, on the second day, God said, let there be a firmament between the waters. The waters that were below it and the waters that were above it. Wait a minute. You mean there was a layer of water all over the earth? Yes. And when Noah's flood came, that all came down. Now, nobody knows how thick it was, in feet, miles, or whatever, but that whole layer came down. Well, what was it doing there? Protecting Adam and Eve from the radiation of the sun. So he would not die. But because of their sin, and here's an interesting point, starts off with they had two boys. They had two sons, Cain and Abel. Well, Cain kills Abel, and God throws him out of the garden. And he goes to the land of Nod, just east of Eden, and he finds himself a wife. Now, in the past, I'd just read right through that, just go on and not think about it. But one day I thought, wait a minute. If it was only Adam and Eve and they only had two sons, where did City of Nod come from? And what wife from there did he take? Where did she come from? Nothing's ever mentioned about that with Adam and Eve. Never were they there before Adam and Eve? Why wasn't I taught this stuff in Sunday school? Why was I only taught how to give to the church? And I'm a bad guy if I don't. Why aren't I taught these things? So, moving on. The first month of the new year, the first day this year, I expect something to happen. I don't know what, but this I can assure you on, and you can look this up yourself. All through the Old Testament, God, once he created something and had it established like program to it, he never deviated from that ever again. He always does major things for his people on or around feast days. He doesn't just randomly pick a date and that's when it happens. No. It's always on or around a feast day. We got the spring feast, the summer feast, which is Pentecost, and the fall feast, which is exactly 5 months apart. The first trump will blast at sundown, the last day of the month Elul, and it will blast just as the sun goes over the, or under the mountains. And then we will see the new moon, that little sliver of moon that we've seen. But the second day, they'll blast all those trumpets, and then when the sun goes down, only one blast, and it's called the last trump. It's what Paul referred to. Well, if that's what Paul referred to, then now you know when the trumpet will blast and the Lord will return. Because that's what Paul is referring to. That's what Christ is referring to in Matthew 24. It's what he's referring to in Matthew chapter 13. Don't let the church or anybody else lie to you anymore. The Bible answers the questions you have. All you have to do is find the answer. And usually it's right in front of you, but the people that have been railroaded in their schools, who have been taught from the evil ones, the Jesuits, the Illuminati, and the Masons will all lie to you about the scriptures. They don't want you hanging around at that point in time. You can't be here. You can't get the wealth. They want it. They want to rule you with that if you're still here. They don't care. They soon as kill you. Just ask Bill Gates. Why is all his people farming the farm meat that is sold to McDonald's and all the fast food places when he's the guy who advocates killing 90% of us? Why do you want to go to those places and eat that meat? Wouldn't it be wise to not? Does he actually put poison in his meat? I bet he does. Think about it. I know it tastes good. For the addicted, Coke really does a number on you. You really feel good when you smoke Coke. You just don't understand what's happening to the inside of your body, especially your brain. Now, during the creation period, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and let it divide the day from the night. And it was so. And those lights were for signs and seasons, for days and years. Let them be there to show everybody when what time it is. Understand that on day 1, 2, and 3, we had no time. There was no sun, no moon, no stars. So nobody knew what time it was. The earth was just kind of floating out there all by itself. By the way, that description that Genesis gives us, the earth was created first, not last. Do you know that on the third day of creation, God said, let all the water be in one place and let the dry land appear? Now, using that wordage, that would tell you that all the dry land is in one place as well. All the water's on this side and all the land's on this side. Well, there you have that one continent thing that science says was Pangea. Right there. But Noah's flood broke that thing apart. And we have the continents that we have today. I always like to tell scientists that when they think they're so smart. Explain Pangea. Well, I don't know what that is. Well, under your theology, Pangea was that one continent that everybody lived on. Technically, if you go to South America, you will find etchings in the ground at 50,000 feet in the air. You can see these etchings in the ground, and it's a spider that only lives in Africa. How'd that get in South America and Chile? That's because at one time everything was all shoved together. That's proof. It's not just Chile. There are other places like that. How did we get giants in Arizona? I thought all that was taking place in the Middle East. Well, back in the day it was. Well, how did they get in Arizona? They walked because everything was kind of put together. Huh. So what are we going to do about all this? All this muck that we've gotten ourselves into? I'll tell you. It's called, I'm jumping here, so hang on with me. It's called Task Force Odin. ODIN. That's an acronym for Observe, Detect, Identify, and Neutralize. I'm going to read to you right out of the military manual what this is. It is the United States Army Aviation Battalion, created in August 2006 to conduct reconnaissance, surveillance, and target acquisition operations to combat insurgent operations of improvised explosive devices in combat areas. The unit was formed in Texas and first deployed in October 2006. An Army article says the unit is meant to meet the critical requirement to win back the roads using Army aviation assets to maintain a persistent stare over the demonstrated at-risk areas for IEDs. The United States Army stood up TFODIN as a quick reaction capability project whose efficiency proved so effective it shaped the Secretary of Defense directive to establish the Air Force Project Liberty and other ISR-related missions. I want you to understand that this is a U.S. military event. If they control this, and it's an unmanned drone that they fly, has cameras all over it. It doesn't carry weapons, but it does carry a laser. And like you've seen in movies, what it does, it takes that laser and pinpoints a target and puts that laser on it, and then a bomber from maybe firing a missile 3-4 miles away, that missile has a radar on it, detects that laser, and it finds where that laser is pointing and goes right to it. Those missiles can do a 45-degree turn to hit their target once they find the laser. That's what this is. Now, there's going to be a big biblical scenario where they make out it's World War III, but really they are activating militaries, then bombing all of the satanic Luciferian landmarks. Enacting Gezerah funds the We the People and We Get to Rebuild. This event is biblical. How do I know that? I'm going to get to that in just a second. What they will do with this event, it will be the 10 days of darkness that you always hear about. It's switched on after the quantum systems are put in play. Nisera, Gesera, all that, and according to all the writing, the military courts will go in active duty. Military tribunals, a 10-day movie of darkness, and on your home TV with the EBS going off, all you're going to see is what the corporation has done to you, your mom and dad, your grandparents, and their grandparents, dating all the way back to the 1870s. How they stole everything from you. You'll see the movies of how all that took place. They will teach and inform the American public. There's no excuse for anybody in America not to now understand what happened. There will be 10 countries at least that will be running the EBS to cover the entire planet. Project Odin is part of Quantum Starlink, the new quantum systems. And let me say this. It's not just about money. The quantum system is going to literally take over everything in our lives because it's secret and nobody else can figure out, find out, or change anything that is in your life. You have sole possession of what you do day by day in your life. The media, all assets of the media will be removed. That means you won't have an MSNBC, you won't have a CNN, you won't have an ABC, NBC, CBS. They're gone. All their wealth, the way they do things is done, gone. Matter of fact, more than likely they're going to be taken away. Project Odin is what will activate not just our, but all militaries around the free world. The Turkscat rocket was launched from the United States of America in January last year. You will see it was specifically for military comms, that's communications, to people's TVs, radio, and in Africa, Middle East, Europe, and Central Asia. The event has many facts to it. Now, let me explain something to you, because we all hear this terminology, and I want you to know something about this. Like I said when I opened up, they use the term National Economic Security and Recovery Act. We call that NACERA. It was brought forth by Executive Order 13848 by President Trump in 2017. When you look that act up, you cannot find it. It was written up. It was brought before the House and the Senate floor. Nobody ever voted for it. So in law, there's no such thing as NACERA. But I want you to think about something. Why would I, as a dictator, making sure you stay poor and all you get is the crumbs that I give you, want you to have something that I would sign into law that would bring my own destruction down? Now, I know dictators can be stupid, but that would be a moron to do that, to bring forth your own death. So, Congress never passed it. The president never signed it. And I'm talking all the way back in Bill Clinton's day. And it's never been activated into any committee since. But because of the executive order that Trump signed in 2017, which was a recovery act, NACERA, that really doesn't exist, at least in law. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, because what people have done, they took that in its form and ran with it. Now, you can get on all kind of different websites and read all these different things about it and how this is going to happen next week and this is going to happen next month and all that, and this should have happened last weekend. And it's all BS, guys. Understand that. There are a few people that know when and where and what, and they ain't talking. Beware of that. You'll hear people like Frank 26. They'll get you all riled up. You know what they're doing, guys. I don't know if you guys know this, but if I was to put a site up on YouTube, I get so many people, I get paid so much money. So if I want to live on that, I do my best to make sure that what I present, oh, you really like, you come back next week, I just leave you hanging till next week, like that, like the old 60s shows like Lost in Space. That's it this week, guys. Come back next week, same time, same channel. That's what most of these guys do to you. And you sit there and you get all frustrated. Well, they said that was going to happen last week, and it did. Now they're saying it's going to be next week. Who do you believe? And of course, now all these guys, oh, I'm God-fearing. I'm God-loving. See, that plays on the emotion. And all they are, they're either being given bad information or they just make it up as they go, thinking that you and I are just stupid enough. Come back next week. Now, I hate to bust people's bubble, but we live in a time, guys, we need truth. And if you're going to give an answer to something, make sure it's true. When you go out into a restaurant and you talk to one person thinking, well, I can just tell him anything I want, you leave and he leaves, he goes to his family and says to them what you said. They, in turn, go out on their own. Next thing you know, 100,000 people are repeating what you said, what you knew was a lie. That's how quickly things get spread. Now, you can listen to them with the understanding what they're telling you probably isn't true, but sometimes it's good to hear what they are saying. That's what we do in a court during cases. We listen to one side, then we listen to the other, and we find out who's telling the truth and who's not. Now, remember when you was a kid, because my mom did this to me, at 5 o'clock she'd ask you a question and you'd give an answer. At 5:10 she'd ask the same question but in a different way, making sure the answer is the same as it was the first time. I remember one time for myself, I wanted to go to Johnny's house and spend the weekend because he's a cool guy in grade school. Mom said no. Well, I don't understand why, Mom. Because I know what kind of kid he is. Well, you don't know him like I do. And I still couldn't go. So I go in my room and I'm pouting. So I go away for a day on Saturday and Mom's trying to figure out where I'm at. And I'm thinking, I am smart, man. I know my stuff. I'm smarter than Mom. I got my stuff in a row. When I see her that afternoon, well, Roger, where you been? I went to Bruce's house. Yeah, we played over there. We watched TV and cartoons and stuff. Yeah, it was fun. Rode my bike there and rode it back. Yeah. So about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, she calls up Joanne, who is Bruce's mother. Was Roger, how did Roger and Bruce get along today? Roger wasn't here. Now, beknownst to me, I'm thinking I got out of all this thing because I wanted to get out and do something that day. Mom will come back and she'll say, where were you this afternoon? Well, I was at Bruce's house. Then why did Joanne tell me that you were never there? Now what do you do? This is the problem. When you lie to people or you give misinformation to people, now you got to remember every single person you talked to that day and who you said what to. And you better get it right, because if you get one wrong, trying to remember exactly what it was you said, well, you know what happens. This is the news media, guys. This is what they do, especially MSNBC and CNN. That's why they're all going down. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. They're going to get it worse than Biden. You know why? They committed treason every single day of their life since this started. And it started, I'll be glad to tell you when it started. It started January 21st, 2016. That was the day Donald Trump took the presidential office under his belt. Actually, from the voting of the next day, when Hillary didn't win, they started plotting. And Donald Trump's 4 years and 2 days in office didn't go well, because every time he tried to do something, he had an impeachment going on. He had investigations going on. You know why? Because he wasn't a Mason. He wasn't a Jehovah's Witness or, some other religious belief. He wasn't part of the Illuminati. He doesn't have bloodline from the crown running through his body. And he wasn't a part of the D.C. crowd. And he couldn't play by their rules. They tried to buy him off. They couldn't buy him off. They tried to even poison him once back about 2018. That didn't work. He is a man who is true to his word and true to the American people. Now, this republic, that's how we're supposed to be. That's how we are supposed to operate daily, to each other and to the people outside the republic. Same way it is in a court. The truth will always come out in a court as long as you have a judge or a justice who demands truth. Is that us? It ought to be. See, after we are stood up and we now have the ball in our hand, and we have some of these people who never got arrested come in our courtroom for doing severe damage to Republic people, putting them in jail, threatening them, even killing them. How are we going to handle that? Are you going to handle that differently than you would somebody who ran over somebody's dog in their farmhouse? Are you going to want to have the death penalty for one individual from the corporation, but the next guy that comes in next month, he's all got the same set of crimes, but you're just going to give him 5 years? Is that how you feel that you should operate? Or is it the same for everybody from the top to the bottom? Remember what Christ told his disciples. When a guy owes you something and you go to his house and you want to collect and he doesn't have it, and you turn around and boy, you just mash him, you beat up on him, you spit in his face, you call him names because he doesn't have the $10 he owes you. And as you're walking away from that, the guy that you originally got all your money from wants his payment back, and you lie to him. I don't have it. Which did Christ ask? Which was the one that did the worst? They both owed, but who did the worst job? Who committed the higher crime? You know, as you go up the food chain, the harder it is to lie to people, and when you do, the harder it is on you when you fall. Because you will fall. God tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, that the fear-mongering and all the wicked people and all those that did all these weird things, and then it says, and all liars shall have their place in the lake that burns with fire. This is why we can't keep our entire focus on people in the media that will lie to us to make $2 or $3 extra dollars for the day, telling us that things are going to happen this way at this time. Be prepared. And then a week after that, they're telling you the same thing for the next week, expecting you to come back and give them maybe $5 on a donation. I just want to tell you this. Frank 26, last May, went to Hawaii, Oahu, in a hotel right there on the beach at Waikiki. Beth and I would watch his talks there, sometimes for 2 hours, and he would show us all over the places I went to when I was there in the military. They are beautiful places. But my God, people, you know how much it costs to live in the Hilton Hotel for 4 months? You're looking in Hawaii, you're looking at $500-$600 a day. I looked it up. Well, that's 30 days. Multiply that by four. He's got to be making a lot of money on YouTube, swindling people, lying to them, claiming he's the only one that knows about the Iraqi dinar. I found out about him. Beth and I stopped watching him because he was lying. and we were paying him to lie. Not anymore. Now we go by probably more people that are more in the know about all this. And I'll tell you the people to listen to, because they always kind of say the same thing. They admit right off the bat that they don't know exactly when or where. They just know it's coming. So right off the bat, you know that they know what they're talking about up to a certain level. And then above that, they don't get that information. Those are the ones you can trust. So be careful, guys, because I don't know if you remember this, but in the last month, I've gotten probably 20 emails of Mr. So-and-so from so-and-so who got left all that money from his dad or father or king, and he wants me to put it in my account, and he'll let me have two or three million of it for keeping it in my account. And all I got to do is real simple: my name, my phone number, my address, my card number. That's all. Yeah. I wasn't born yesterday. I was born 71 years ago. I know what's going on that front. It's called a scam. And right now, according to the BBC, there's over 740 active scams in America right now. And they target and hit every year, every age group. They especially love hitting the retired, the 65 and older. That way they can take all the money that you saved all your years of work, and they can take it in one day. You don't think those people get rich? Why do you think they continue to do what they do? I'll tell you, if this was the rifleman age and he found out about it, well, him and his rifle would go to that individual and take care of him. Unfortunately, we don't live in that day and age anymore. Instant justice is what that's called. Now, we give justice out in the judicial side of the republic. But God gives the instant justice. Get out of my face, and away you go. Sometime I'll have to tell you about the vision I had when I was in the hospital, and I died for 5 minutes, they claimed, on the hospital bed, getting operated on. But the vision I had seemed like hours upon hours. And what I saw was my judgment. I have to tell you guys about that sometime. Because that is what changed me for my life. Well, guys, we're an hour in. I don't want to keep it too long. I just want to share with you that the coming days, be ready and be careful and be ready, stocked up with the things that you normally would eat. Try to make at least half of it dry foods, canned foods. You can get the dehydrated foods. That's fine as long as you got water. I don't think we'll lose electric, and I don't think we're going to lose, you know, water and sewer and so forth. I think we'll just lose communication. Unless you live in L.A., Chicago, D.C., someplace like that. They may lose everything. I will tell you this. Israel and 10 nations in South America about 3 months ago lost all power in the entire nations for 10 minutes, and it turned back on. That was a test from the military to make sure all the systems are operating correctly. That one day when they decide to do it, all they have to do is flip one switch, just one. Remember the day that all the aircraft couldn't fly because of computer glitch, and they spent a day and a half fixing that thing. What they were doing is, along with fixing whatever, they were implanting programs have the entire, at least in the United States, have everything that can fly, not fly. Not for just a few hours, but for maybe a whole week. Shut it down. We're that close, kid, guys. We're not moving around, going to work and everything, thinking everything's hunky-dory, because everything is not. But be aware of the fact you serve a God that not only can protect you, but can protect everything that you own and you have. I always go back to the story of Goshen in Egypt with Moses. The plagues were falling from the sky big time. And the number one plague set up number two. Number two would set up number three and so forth. The only one that didn't come from that lineage was the spiritual one. That was number 10. That wasn't caused by some physical thing. That was caused by a spirit, the death angel. And that didn't even bother Goshen because they had the lamb's blood over the doorpost and outside with their word that they had on the inside of the doorpost, what they called the Torah. Are you covered with the lamb's blood? Are you covered right now with the blood of the lamb? Do you believe in him? Do you believe his word? Do you live his word? Do you walk in his word? Because I'm telling you now, if you are, that's why you are brought to this republic. But not only that, because you are, and you have the lamb's blood that covers you, you're just like the Hebrews were in Goshen. You were his children, and with all the stuff coming out of the sky and coming out of the ground, nobody that was under Moses and the blood ever got hurt, harmed, or killed. That's what the Bible calls a remnant. And we are part of that remnant in this country, this republic. Everybody else that's not in this may, and I repeat, may face some kind of trouble or judgment upon them. Remember, Moses, the first plague, and the water turned red. Red represents the blood of Christ. The next one came the locusts, the flies, and all the lice. All the way up. And Moses told Pharaoh, do not speak another word, because the thing that comes out of your mouth will be the judgment that happens to you and your land. And as Moses was walking out of the great hall, Pharaoh commanded his people to kill every firstborn of all the Hebrews. Oops. We all know what happened. The firstborn of not just the people, but all the animals as well, died. Except those that were under the blood, and it passed over them. Thus we have the holiday Passover. The day Christ was crucified and died on. We serve a God people that knows how to protect his own, and not only that, but will. All he requires of us is to give him honor and to give him our thoughts and our prayers to every day, and he wants us to thank him every day for what he has done for us. Now, he's not some guy down the street working someplace demanding that you bow down to him, but this God is. There's no other being higher than him, so he can do that. But he doesn't expect us to get on our knees every 10 seconds and pray like the Muslims. He doesn't expect us to worship like the Hindus. And I'll leave you with one last thought. Think about this. every other god, or so-called god, of every other religion on this planet, be it a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Satanist, they all require you to die for their god. Only what we know as Christianity, the God that we serve, died for us. Now, which person, which God do you want to serve? And with that, I'll end tonight. Mark, you can open it up for questions.
All right. I'm going to open it up, everybody. So if you're not talking, please mute your phones because we'll hear your background noise.
Are the election flipping via military courts? Military tribunals. Tense countries will be running on EBS to cover the whole world.
Do now.
Reveal the inauguration.
Good night, everybody. Many blessings to you all. Thank you. Bye for now.
Yeah.
Be gone. Night-night, love you. I'll do the Hover Show now.
34 buildings will be in the event. They're very significant. White House, Royal Castle, Buckingham Palace, Vatican, Getty Museum, Playboy Mansion, and the like.
34 Titanic targets, supposedly.
This will surely make the stock market collapse.
Don't do it, but I am real.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, if you think about this,
here comes kids on it, too.
Rex is buying $2 billion worth of
Niagara Falls
gold.
I don't know what all that's.
What's that?
I'm just going to go in on the printer.
What's that?
Oh, my God.
It was going to open it up for questions.
They left.
I haven't heard any questions.
Oh, it's the exciting news at the end. Mute your phone.
You need to mute your phone because that's why no questions are being asked, because we can hear you.
I have a question from Connecticut, if I could.
Sure.
I'm just been in here about 5 days studying, and I'm the interim governor for Connecticut, and I'm trying to fill seats. And I'm wondering, what is the criteria we need to look for to fill the justice seats?
Well,
do you have any advice?
Yes, I do. We go by the Northwest Ordinance, which requires a governor, 3 judges, and a secretary of state. Once you get those filled, then you can start working on your counties.
Right. I get that. But what I'm asking you is, since you're supposed to be you're a judge or justice, what criteria should I be looking for to fill the seat for the justices? Like, you don't want to put a bar attorney in, so and so I'm saying, what criteria to fill those justice seats would you recommend?
Well, first of all, they have to read the second book. That's the first thing on the list. They can't be a bar attorney or somebody who's got a massive amount of crimes that they've committed, found guilty on, things of that.
Right.
We like people to be believing in the heaven and God. We like that because that's basically a requirement once you get into office, because our law form is biblical law. So really, to get into a position, that's really all that's required. Then we'll vet them, and the people that vet them will then ask them other questions, and then that's who makes the determination on whether he actually gets to the seat or not.
Okay. I have another question then, please. Which Bible is the one that has been unadulterated. In other words, there's so many Bibles that have been, they've been marked, changed, and whatever, whatever. Which would you think, sir?
Well, actually, I've learned over my years the Hebrew is the most sound. When they did the King James, they even messed that up on some translation, you know, verses and chapters. They have a Geneva Bible, probably better than the King James as far as keeping with the wordage. So my suggestion would be either the Hebrew or the Geneva.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Sure. You're welcome.
God bless you. God bless you.
Anybody else?
Hello, this is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin, seeing how you're doing there. But anyways, that there, in answering to this governor's question about the Bible, one you might want to look up is Hallelujah Scriptures Bible, which is translated directly from Hebrew. All the names are in their original Hebrew.
Right.
And that is... I know you know it, Roger, but I'm just, you know, a lot of people are not aware of this, but it's hallelujahscriptures.com.
Okay.
And another thing is really, really good. You're welcome. But another thing, there's a really good book that exposes, like, the pagan rituals and traditions that are in the churches and everywhere else. It's Bain Traditions at BainTraditions.com. A very good book to read. And this book is basically kind of definitely dovetails with a lot of Justice Waters' presentations. And with that, I yield.
Thanks, sir. Anybody else?
Yes, this is MJ on Colorado.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the Pilgrims used the 1560 Geneva Bible.
Right.
Gutenberg Bible's probably the best. Or maybe in Tyndale. But never had a Tyndale.
Geneva Bible is from the Tyndale. For the, you know, he did the first, the New Testament and the Pentateuch, and then the Geneva Bible, he finished it out. I yield.
About the Geneva Bible. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
The speech that we, the people that are awake to the new republic that's coming in, are these seats, we're just holding the seat for the new government, the new republic to come in, and are there people waiting to take the seats that we are holding? I was told that there are people that when the republic comes in, there are people in place that will take the position in the government at that time. That's my question.
Okay, well, no.
You're cold.
This republic, what's going to be stood up and everybody else cannot be. They have not done what we have done in the early days. We have presented everything in document form to who needs to show it or who needs to see it. Way back, it started in 2010, and I think by 2014 it was all completed. There are people out there thinking that they're going to be the one stood up, but they're not. The military already knows who they're standing up. And they've been with us for 14 years. So nobody else is going to be able to do it. And once we are stood up, it's going to not be a new republic. It's going to be the same one that our founding fathers brought forth. We're not creating something new. We're going back to the old, the way it was. So hope that answers your question.
That did. Thank you, and I agree with you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Denise in South Carolina. I'm going to be a county clerk. So
okay.
I'm kind of curious, who's actually going to – will I have a part in running the election after 120 days, or is the military doing that? You know, am I just keeping a seat warmer, or you know, who's running the elections?
Well, the first time that we hold it, we are, but we're going to be under military guard, I'll put it that way. They're going to, like, encircle the republic as a whole and protect it while elections are going on. But you will in your state from the first
time.
So
I will actually be running. So I'll be running the election in my county?
Yeah. Yeah.
What resources and people will I have to do that?
Well, see, that's the thing. You can go get, you know, John down the street to help out or whatever. It's your position to run it, and you authorize people, helpers or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have somebody, I don't know, outside checking IDs or whatever they're going to do, and how you are going to hold the election. Are you going to use a mechanical machine, or are you going to do it by paper ballot?
You know, paper all the way.
There you go. I agree.
But I mean, it costs money to buy, you know, ballots. What kind of resources would us little county clerks have for running an election, you know, renting buildings?
That's the way it is now. That may not be the way it is then.
I'll just
put it that way. Nobody really knows the answer to that, but that'll come in time. Depends on how much the whole republic has to play with.
Can you come in on that side and do this? I can't hold this with my children. Oh, up so I can get this.
Anybody else?
Yes, I have a question.
Yeah.
Eric up in North Carolina County Justice. In one of your last calls, you mentioned about looking for a building from prior to such a date. I have it in my notes, but and that we're going to use those buildings to to conduct court. How exactly are we going to do that? Does the military put us in that position? And that way people know? I mean, that's happening? And also, yeah, the funds to, how are we going to run that new system?
Well, as we can imagine now, what you're asking is a scenario that nobody can be 100% sure how it's going to come down. But we have the idea that to get rid of the ones that are there now, the military's going to arrest them, and they'll be removed. That leaves that building vacant. There's going to be a lot of people that will come to work the next day thinking that everything's the way it was before, but those guys are gone. So you being the lawful justice or judge in that county or wherever, those people now work for you. You'll have all your documentation when you were sworn in and all this good stuff. You'll have that, and that will be who you are to them. Okay? So those people mainly just go to work every day to make money to feed their kids and so forth. They're not really bad people. They went to work in a corporation, but they didn't really know what they were doing. It was the judge itself that sat in that seat inside the courtroom. He knew what was going on, and that's why he's not there anymore. Now you get to come in and basically set the record straight with them And I will guarantee you that those people will love working with and for you, because you represent something that other judge did not. He probably treats his people badly because he wants everything. He's God in his own court, and you are not. The Constitution is, but you are not. So that's they'll see that difference. So it will be a fairly easier transition than what you may think it is, because every one of us is going to have that same scenario play out with us. So you're not going to be the only one. And we're going to do something that I know the Founding Fathers did. I know the corporation cannot. You can call other justices or judges in the county or the circuit or whatever in your state and ask for advice. You can do that. That's how we make sure everything gets done correctly. So, you know, don't think that, oh, what, it's going to be bad. No, it won't. It may look like it now because there's chaos going on. When they do this with the military, chaos is gone, okay? Just think of it that way.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I have a question. My name is Shannon from Texas.
Yeah.
You were saying that they are going to be playing documentaries about what has happened and how this corporation formed and what they took from us and how they did that. Is this going to be done prior to the military standing us into our positions?
Well, first of all, they're not going to know who you are. And it's not going to happen, you know, over a span of a couple weeks. No. If I know the military like I do, this will be a coordinated event. We'll start noon on the east, and that will be 9 o'clock in the west. It'll all happen at the same time. National Guard is already being called out in a lot of states to surround different areas in the county. There's a lot of things that are taking place right now that we don't even know about, but they are. It just doesn't seem like there is. When the days of darkness come, that is when, from everything that we've heard, that is when the military will race in and do what they have to do, and then they will mop up themselves, and then they will put us in that position. And these people during the days of darkness, they are going to see 24 hours a day like a repeating movie of what they've done to us. I don't know how else to say it.
That's what
PBS
I meant.
Will go off, and
they're
going to
see
learn.
That.
Yeah, it's on TV.
They'll be seeing that. And then the military is going to set us in are the positions we're holding?
Well, they're probably more, if I know the, I used to train for this in the Marine Corps. And what we would do is we would take the person, first time, first day, into the building, and there probably won't be half of the original people there, but they'll take us in and tell them who we are, because they will have seen the movie now, what the military is doing to the corporate.
Oh, they'll understand already.
They what?
The people that are continuing will understand already that these treasonous traitors have been taken out.
Yes, yeah. Already. If they don't, they'll figure it out.
Okay, but if they've watched the shows,
yeah,
they will understand. Oh, that sounds so good. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Justice Waters?
Yes.
This is MJ on Jefferson. I have a question that I've been thinking about. So I was under the impression, I think I heard from Sandy, that, you know, corporations vote, and we in the Republic elect. So.
Well, that's true.
So our I know in the Republic that you had to have certain qualifications to elect. Not everybody elected for offices. I mean, everybody probably had a say in their assemblies, you know, for getting committees together and things like that. But for actually putting somebody in office, it was electors. So I just wondered, is that kind of what we're doing here too?
Yeah, because it's constitutional.
Okay. Okay, that's what I thought. I appreciate it. I yield.
Sure. Thank you. Anybody else? Well, Mark, sounds like it's silence. How about we close it down?
Sounds good, sir. I'll turn the recording off.
Huh?
So I can turn the recording off if you like.
Sure.